We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Nope, it's not. It's Seth Dunlap, substitute teaching tonight on Sports Talk. Very good first hour. Great conversation we had. Is winning the only thing that matters in sports? And that is still our WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll on Twitter. It'll be on the website here in just a couple of seconds. You can text me on that 870-870. We're still going to talk NFL now. And Ben Watson going to join us at 520 Saints tight end. And he's been very outspoken, very eloquent too, on his views on the new NFL national anthem policy that players, if you're on the field, must stand for the national anthem. You can go into the locker room, but no protesting, or teams could face some penalties. Well, yesterday, the NFL and the NFL Players Association released a joint statement that said, paraphrasing here, they're suspending any new policy on the anthem policy while they have private discussions, confidential discussions, in order to iron something out, hammer out a new policy that addresses this and makes the owners happy, tries to make the players happy, and bring everybody together on this issue, which certainly the NFL has not been so far. And this is basically in response to something that happened a couple of days ago with the Miami Dolphins. Owner Stephen Ross and the front office there, they had put in a policy in writing, at least submitted it to the NFL, that said they would possibly suspend their players if they were protesting during the anthem. A lot of blowback from the NFLPA saying this has to be collectively bargained. And then the Dolphins started crawfishing. Stephen Ross, their owner, released a statement saying, again, paraphrasing here, that, well, this was just a form sent to the NFL. This was a flexible policy that we hadn't decided anything firm on. And they're, again, kind of like we talked about last hour, nothing really to see here. But the NFL and the PA now releasing a joint statement. And if you haven't seen it yet, I'll go ahead and read the statement here, at least the first paragraph of it, because it is interesting. Here's the statement. Quote, the NFL and NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. No new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are ongoing. The NFL and NFLPA reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. Our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. You know, I saw something from, I think it was a tweet from the great Sports Illustrated writer Robert Klemko the other day, saying that the most influential player today in the NFL still is Colin Kaepernick. Because of his one action now 2 years ago, taking a knee in a preseason game, the reverberations of that still felt everywhere around the sport, inside and out of it. And the NFL has not found a good way to handle this issue. They fumbled it multiple times. And once again now, they're getting with the NFLPA, and this is the first time that I've heard something that I really believe that those two forces, the NFL and NFLPA, are really hammering down, trying to work something out. Because this is no longer good for either side. You could say at first, this issue was good for the players and their pursuit for social justice and equality. Then you could say, well, this became an issue that kind of united the owners against the players. That were, certainly, the conservative ownership force in the NFL and politicians against the players in this. But now, I don't think it's helping anybody. People talk about, well, the ratings are down across the NFL, and the reason why is players are protesting. Well, yes, but I also think the ratings were down because both sides got tired of it. Left wing, right wing, players who supported the players, players who didn't support the players. Nobody was happy with this. Ask anybody. If you're on one side of the fence on this, I would just ask you to do something Scoot tells you to do a lot. Hey, reach out to somebody on the opposite side of an issue. Talk to them. They're going to be just as unhappy about this as you are. And still, no real end to this in sight. It's a little incredible, 2 years in. What do you think about this? We'll take a quick call. 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap here on Sports Talk. Derek and Gonzalez, you want to weigh in? Go ahead. Derek, you're on WWL. Go ahead. No, Derek, let's go to Will in New Orleans. Will, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing? Who that?
Hey, who that, Will? What's up?
Yeah, at first I was on the side of the players, but now I feel as if they, you know, did a lot of work off the field. And I think that their point has been made, and I think they should stand or just stay in the locker room. And I think if they want to continue to make their, you know, communities better, just do the work off the field.
Do you have any faith that the NFL and NFLPA will come to a good agreement on this after their latest statement?
I'm sure, yeah.
I'm not sure, Will. Thanks for the call. I'm not sure they're going to come up with something that pleases, certainly, no, nothing's going to please everybody at this point, but I don't even know if they're going to come up with something that's feasible that will please a majority of people out there. I have no faith in either side on this. I think we're that far down into the rabbit hole. We'll take a break here. We're coming back. Ben Watson, Saints tight end, will join us. I'll certainly ask him about this. He's been very outspoken and eloquent on this. And he's got a charity event coming up. And, of course, we'll ask him about training camp that starts next week for the Saints. I'm Seth Dunlap. It's Sports Talk right here on WWL. Welcome back to the program. Seth Dunlap in for Christian Garrick tonight. You know, we're just a week away here, less than it, from Saints training camp. Press conferences on Wednesday. Camp opens on Thursday. I can't wait. Football season is back, baby. And we've got a very special guest for us now, Ben Watson, Saints tight ends, on into the program. Ben, what's going on? You ready for camp, man? Just a few days away now.
Hey, it seems like it comes up faster and faster every year. But yes, I'm ready. We're here, ready to go.
Does it get faster the longer you've been in the league now, man? Does it change since your younger days?
I think the offseason just gets shorter. I don't know. I also think that, you know, when you – have a wife and, you know, now five kids. It's like the off season used to be, it's the off season. It's totally different. But now life just keeps going on. You're still putting kids to bed, getting them back up. Your schedule stays pretty much the same. So it seems like, everyday life just stays the same. And the off season is really short, but everybody decided to get going.
Yeah, you're working even harder now with that family, man.
Exactly.
What do you make of this team, man? You've been around so many locker rooms now in your career. What's your thoughts about the Saints this year?
I think there's definitely a lot of potential. And there's also a lot that's been proven. When you look back last year, you look at the offseason program, it's a group of guys that are very different, a lot of different faces than the last time I was here, but a group of guys that have been through a lot and forged a real identity, I think, with the success that they had last year. Obviously, they have to carry that through until this year, and there's some new faces, but I think there's a great foundation. There's also a hunger, I think, to build on what happened last year. I think there's also an understanding that success comes from hard work, and it's different every year. There's a different identity every year, but nothing is handed to you in this league, and I think it's really important that teams understand that. I think this is a team that understands that.
You know, have you been a little bit surprised and amazed by the balance of power that shifted to the NFC so dramatically here the last couple of years? I mean, this NFC has 5, 6, 7 contenders, and you're probably looking at 1 or 2 over there in the AFC. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, you know, over the course of my career, it's flip-flopped. It's changed from time to time. I remember, you know, early in my career, 2004, the early years, the first 5 years or so, it was very AFC dominant. You had New England. You had the Colts that we would play all the time when I was in New England. You had Pittsburgh all the time. You had a lot of fringe teams that were there, and the NFC was really just a different conference, although they had good teams. Now, the last few years, I would definitely say that the power has shifted. There's just more depth, I think, in the NFC where it used to be the other way around. Obviously, there's only one team that can represent from each conference. But when you look at the NFC, I was having this conversation with someone else. There's just a lot of depth. There's a lot of good teams that can make a run.
It's Ben Watson, Saints tight end, joining us here on Sports Talk. I'm Seth Dunlap. You know, it was a little bit fortuitous booking here by our producer, Steve Geller. You've been very outspoken and very eloquent. I love what you've said about the protest around the national anthem. And, of course, last night, breaking news was the NFL and NFLPA released a joint statement saying they're getting back together to try to iron something out. Do you have hope that something that is agreeable to the players and the owners and everybody gets worked out here?
I definitely do. We've been in talks. When I say we, just meaning the NFLPA and player leadership, as well as the NFL, have been in talks when it comes to the rule. I think that the rule was laid out by the NFL in a way that even the NFL has admitted, you know, some owners as well as the NFL front office has admitted that they aren't happy with how it went over. And I think that they would have done some things differently as players, as an NFL PA, as a union. We feel the same way. I think as fans, there's also some, I guess, ambiguity when it comes to what exactly does the rule mean, what does it not mean. And so for purposes of clarification, for purposes of having both sides, all sides really being respected, I am happy that we are coming to a place where we can try to work towards some sort of solution. I don't know what that solution is going to be. That's going to happen throughout this next process. But you saw the statement, but also there was a statement released a little while ago, about a week ago, by the NFLPA just saying that, yes, the league has come and we're going to try to meet on these things. So there will be probably some sort of change. I don't know what it's going to be, but I am confident that we're going to have something that everybody can agree to.
Well, Ben, tomorrow you're doing something pretty cool. You're going to be out on the Carnival Triumph hosting a reading event for local kids aboard that ship. Is that right? Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's you know, Carnival Cruise Line tries to support the local communities where they have ships coming in and out of. Obviously, New Orleans is a place where you can take cruises out. I think there's two ships here from Carnival, and they're hosting something called Dr. Seuss's Word Challenge. Now, you'd be like, why am I going to Dr. Seuss's Word Challenge? Well, I have kids, and I read Dr. Seuss, and I understand the importance of reading. So they're actually partnering with three local organizations to bring some kids out and just put an emphasis on the importance of reading. You know, when you look at so many different studies when it comes to how kids progress throughout life, when it comes to the types of education that they're able to attain later on in life, a lot of it comes to the fundamental idea of reading and comprehension. And so through Dr. Seuss, partnering with Carnival Cruise, and I'll be out there reading some Dr. Seuss books to some kids, just trying to encourage kids that even though it's summertime and it's time to get in the pool and eat snowballs and all that type of stuff, it's also time to make sure you continue to read.
Yeah, man, always is. Great stuff. Very worthy cause tomorrow. Glad to see you doing it. And look, short and sweet today, but Ben, we'll see you out there at training camp next week. Enjoy your weekend, man.
All right, see you later. Make sure you stay hydrated. It's gonna be hot out there.
All right, I know. No doubt about it. Ben Watson, Saints tight end, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Taking your calls after the news break, we'll throw it to CBS News den Don Ames. I'm Seth Dunlap. Sports Talk continues on WWL. So the NFL and NFLPA releasing a joint statement last night that puts the NFL's anthem policy on hold under a standstill agreement, the latest attempt to try to iron things out between the two sides and come up with an acceptable agreement before the season starts. And we're just a couple of weeks away, what, August 9th, the first game here, and then the regular season is starting in about a month and a couple of weeks. So they don't have long to get that ironed out. What do you think? Give us a call. You can text me and you can tweet us. Let's start it off with Ed in Picayune. Ed, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering how long this is going to take before it has a problem between teammates and things like that. Only because the NFL, I mean, as big as they are, they can't get something right.
It's been 2 years, Ed. It's been 2 years, and they haven't gotten anything right so far. They bungled it time and time again, no doubt about it.
All right, who's running this ship? I mean, it's like, this is crazy.
Well, remember, it's a league, so you can't just blame this on Roger Goodell. I think Roger Goodell's made a lot of missteps, but this one, it's not him. You have to have the owners agreeing on something, and you can't get these owners to agree on anything because of, well, politics, just like it is in our country, right? They're on both sides of the issue, Ed, so that's going to be a really tough task.
No, I don't agree. I mean, Roger Goodell has a lot of clout and is supposed to be an attorney, a negotiator, and things like that. What is the problem? This is going to cause a lot of problems within a locker room.
Well, it has. But I don't think that you can blame Roger Goodell for this. I just don't. Because he's not Emperor Goodell here. He's got to get these owners to agree in majority and sometimes supermajority to make any kind of policy changes. And this one's not on Goodell. I mean, he is the spokesman, so you could throw some blame his way, but he's not the sole person responsible for this. There's no doubt. Again, you have owners like Stephen Ross in Miami, Jerry Jones, on one side of this issue saying, hey, their players better get out there and stand or they're going to suspend them or fine them. And then you have owners, active owner like Christopher Johnson in New York, Tepper now in Carolina, saying, nope, our players can protest. We'll pay the fines ourselves. So when you have owners on completely opposite sides of an issue like this, corralling them into one pen is a gargantuan task. I've said many times when I thought Roger Goodell has misstepped and put blame squarely his way. This one isn't one of them. This is on the ownership themselves. How about Anthony and Chalmette? You want to weigh in. Anthony, go ahead. Anthony, you're on WWL. We lost Anthony. I can't hear you. Let's put you on hold. Mark Menard, our studio producer, will try to get you squared away there. Here's a text from the 985. I think the players will realize that they are hurting their own business, company, and potential profits. In my opinion, they have the right to protest. But if ratings continue to fall, you're essentially sinking your own ship. You know, that's a very interesting and nuanced topic. I don't think there's any doubt that some people are tuning out because of this anthem issue. But it's more complicated than that. I firmly believe that there are people on both sides of this issue. Now, I've talked to them that say they're done with the NFL because of either they're in the players' camp and they don't agree with how the NFL is handling this and their spokespeople. And, of course, we know that there's people who are not on the players' side in this and say they're done with the NFL. Ratings are falling for both reasons. And if you don't give credence to the fact that there's people on both sides put off by this, then you're just not looking at the truth here. Also, if we talk about television ratings, let's be honest here. That medium, not necessarily a dying medium, but certainly a receding one. There's just too many options now with especially the younger generation who have unplugged. Ask anybody under the age of 25. I challenge you to find somebody under the age of 25 that truly has a traditional satellite or cable subscription. It's hard. A vast majority of them just shine up Netflix, Hulu, or whatever else and not go on cable or satellite. So that's a huge problem right now for not only the NFL, but television in general. All right, Anthony and Chalmette, you're back. What's up?
Hey, Seth, can you hear me now?
I can. What's up, man?
Sorry about that. So look, you have a guy, Joe Mixon, who commits a horrible act. He goes through the criminal justice system. He's allowed to gain employment again. A business organization drafts him, gives him a shot. What's wrong with that? Is he supposed to serve a life sentence after, you know, doing his time in the criminal justice system?
I guess I don't understand the question, Anthony. You're asking what I think's wrong with what he did?
No. You said before that he shouldn't be allowed to play. He shouldn't be in the league. And you basically gave the guy a life sentence for what? He went through the criminal justice system like any one of us would.
Yeah, and he's now basically the face of domestic violence, or at least violence against women, in the National Football League. Do you think that he faced the consequences that anybody else in society would have, Anthony, if he's not a football player?
Hey, I don't know much about his case. I wasn't on the jury. I wasn't the judge. But
did you see the video?
Were put in place. I did, but...
What'd you think?
I thought it was a horrible act, but it's not about what I think. I appreciate you asking me that, but I'm not his judge, jury, and executioner. Those people were set in place, gave him an opportunity to gain employment again. What he did was wrong. He's admitted so. The Bengals gave him a shot. What
industry do you work in, Anthony?
Excuse me?
Can I ask, what you know, industry do you work in?
No, you can't ask that. It's not about me. It's about Joe Mixon and what you said about him. I don't understand why my employment is...
Well, I'm not trying to get... I'm not trying to get you defensive here. I'm just asking, you know, what field you work in, because...
Relevant to what we're talking about.
Well, you keep asking me my opinion. I'm not allowed to ask you yours. This is talk radio, man. You're allowed to give your opinion here.
I'm giving my opinion, but I don't need to get my employment.
You're getting a little defensive here, Anthony. Anthony, it sounds like you don't think you can back up your point here. So I'm going to do it for you, because you can't back up your point. Wherever you work, Anthony, if your boss punched a woman in the face in a bar, no matter how high up he is in your organization, he wouldn't have a job. That happened in the movie industry. Wouldn't have a job. That happened in politics. Wouldn't have a job. That happened in the restaurant business, Papa John. He wouldn't have a job. At least not for a very long time, not less than a year later. So if you're asking me, do I think Joe Mixon served a just sentence in the court of public opinion? Heck no, I don't. And I'm not the person making the decisions there, but I can certainly tell you that I don't think they made the right one. And if you do, if you think that him cold-cocking, knocking out a woman in a bar, and then going and playing on Sundays is okay because, hey, winning's the only thing that matters, stand behind that. And that's fine. That's your opinion. I'll have mine. And I'll definitely stand on my high ground on that one, because I like my position a lot better than yours. We'll take a break here. Taking your calls on the NFL Anthem Pause if you want to weigh in on is winning the only thing that matters. 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. It's Sports Talk on WWL. Throwing a couple of things into the pot and stirring it up today. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll is winning the only thing that matters. You can log on to WWL.com and cast your vote. That's also on Twitter at WWLAMFM. And we're talking about the NFL and NFLPA getting back together, trying to hammer out an agreement on an anthem policy and policy surrounding political protests during games. Joe Mixon got brought up a couple of times because is winning the only thing that matters? 21 years old, just a couple of years after beating a girl in a bar and knocking her out. Nobody seems to care anymore. Here's a text from the 985. You only believe that he should be punished because he's in the public eye. Joe Janitor can beat his wife to a pulp and he won't get fired. Wait, what? I'm not sure what business you work for, but everything I've seen in my life, it's the opposite. If Joe Janitor is found to have beaten his wife or whoever, he'd be gone. No doubt about it. Let's go to Derek and Gonzalez. Derek, you're on WWL.
Hey, Seth. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, Derek. What's up?
Look, I have two things I want to touch on right there, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you. The first thing I want to touch on is this, you know, privilege for these athletes, man. When I saw that video of Ray Rice, the way he cold-cocked his wife, I mean, there's really no excuse for that. And, I mean, I don't care how much, time he did or whatever, but, I mean, it's just show you the type of person that really is. I mean, I understand due process of people doing time to be redeemed for the wrong that they've done. But for a man in that position, man, to do something like that, I don't blame. He should be stripped, because you should not make a stupid mistake like that and put your hand on a woman.
No, I agree. And just speaking of, I completely agree with what you said there, that, you know, if you pay your penance, do your time, and give your debt to society, such as an example in my mind is what Michael Vick did. Horrendous what he did with that dogfighting. Went to prison. Now he's an advocate for anti-animal abuse campaigns. Again, paid his debt to society. And I didn't have a problem with him back in the league once he did that. Bobby on I-10, you're on WWL. What say you?
Hey, man, look, I think the players need to stand. Stand for the national anthem. After all, it is a job. If you go on any other job, there are rules and regulations on that job that you have to follow or you will be fired. Now, as much as I don't agree with that anthem and the pledge, because I think they are hypocritical. They don't stand for what they really say that they stand for. But I think the players need to stand. Now, I do want to say this.
Let me ask you this, Bobby, because I want to stay on topic, because we, you know, that's something we've been talking about for years. But we're talking about it because the NFL and NFLPA are getting back together trying to hammer something out. Do you think those two sides will agree to something that you'll find acceptable?
Yes, I do think they're going to come up with something. But the players have leverage now for to argue for guaranteed contracts. Yes, we agree to stand, but we need some guaranteed contracts.
Well, who is it? Richard Sherman was the latest person to say that, I believe. We'll see. That's coming up. Guaranteed money, at least more of it. Maybe guaranteed money for shorter contracts was something that was discussed recently. We'll see. That will certainly be interesting. One more. Les in LaPlace. Les, you're on WWL. Les, go ahead. Nope, let's go to Tony. Tony in Metairie, you're on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Tony.
Okay, I'm going to say real quick. I studied it last year when the ratings started dropping, and I pulled up Forbes Business and also Sporting News Business. And what I saw on those two sites was the NFL is going to have to give back money to the sponsors, which is called free money, when they have rating drops. So when the new collective bargaining comes up and they have to give back this money, that's going to translate into smaller bonuses and smaller contracts. But what did surprise me in a way, but then again it didn't, was 70% of your NFL players, same sources, Forbes Business, Sporting News Business.
Well, here, we're up against the clock, Tony. Go ahead and do me a favor, because I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I just need to be more educated on that part of it. If you can link me that article, send me a text at 870-870. I'll check it out. Usually what happens if there's any kind of payback that has to be given to sponsors because they don't hit ratings goals, usually that's done by the broadcast networks themselves, but maybe the NFL is in a different position. I'd love to read that, though. Again, 870-870. You can send me a text on that. What do you think? Will the NFL and NFLPA come together and agree on something that's sufficient to you as a fan? 504-260-1870. It's Sports Talk. I'm Seth Dunlap on WWL. Hey, are you ready for your chance to win $1,000? Welcome back to Sports Talk. It's the Entercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is OUR. Text OUR to 72881. That's 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. That's OUR like hour on a clock. Listen for the next code word Monday morning just before 7 a.m. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. You never charge for text, but individual text and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Coming up next, as Mark Menard said in his sports flashes, LSU expected to finish fifth in the SEC West. What?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.